Well, let me start with a story. Once upon a time, a greedy mouse lived in a farmer's house. This whole thing's not going to rhyme, just so you know that. I know, some of you guys are really disappointed, Dr. Seuss fans. One day, the greedy mouse saw a basket full of corn, and he wanted to eat it all, so he made a small hole into the basket, squeezed in through it while the farmer was sleeping. Once inside, he ate as much as possible before feeling too full to move for another inch. Now he wanted to go out. He tried to squeeze himself out through the small hole, but his belly was so full that he couldn't fit through the hole. The mouse began to cry, and a rabbit was walking past, and when it heard the mouse sob, it stopped and asked, "Why are you crying?" The mouse said in a really squeaky voice, I'm not going to do the voice, it said inside the basket, it said, I made a hole for myself with my teeth, and came into the pile to eat, but now I can't get back out the same hole. And the rabbit said, "It's because you overate. Your belly will shrink, and then you can go out of the hole, and I'll come back and check on you later." And he ran away laughing. The mouse fell asleep in the basket, and in the morning, his belly was smaller than before, but he still wanted to eat some more corn. He forgot about getting out of the basket, so he ate it and became fat again. After eating, the mouse remembered that he needed to find his way out. Unfortunately, he was trapped in the basket again. Thinking quickly, he said, "I'll wait and I'll get out tomorrow." You want to hear the rest of the story? All right, this is it in its form. A cat passed by and smelled the mouse in the basket. He opened its lid and ate the mouse. That's the story. It's terrible, isn't it? Not the ending maybe you were thinking. Not happy. But that's the story. And almost every story I read about greed ended up that way. Do you know why? Because that's how it ends up. That is how the story ends up. It goes from bad to worse. So as I'm looking for a story, like what kind of story? Every story ends up in that way. But here's some good news for us this morning. We're not mice. We're not going to get eaten by a cat. But this is true for all of us. Greed is deceptive and so subtle we may not even know we've fallen into it. Surrendering to the law of love offers us a way to escape the trap of greed, to escape it. So we're in the third week of this series that we launched a few weeks ago as we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. And this series we're naming Treasure, and we're calling it Treasure because we all have treasure that shapes us and influences how we live in our lives. So we're being challenged by Jesus to take an honest look at ourselves, whether we're trusting our treasure or whether actually trusting in the kingdom of God. What are we doing with our lives? What does that look like? So we're going to continue on in Matthew chapter 6, and here's what Jesus says. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Some versions say you cannot serve God and mammon. Because a lot of times when we think about wealth, a lot of times we just think about money. But that's not what he's saying here. He's like wealth. He's like, this is all encompassing. So here's the first thing that I want us to get from this. Greed is a trap. Everybody say that with me. Greed is a trap. It's a trap. It's so subtle, and it's easy to get trapped in it, which is the very thing with a trap, is a lot of times you don't realize you're in the trap until you're in the trap, right? That's how it works. And listen, here's the deal. When we fall into a trap, all of a sudden you're no longer in control. So when you fall into the trap of greed, you're not in control no matter how much you think you are. You're now serving it. That's what takes place there. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." So your life can only be devoted to one. It says you can only serve one. So no matter where you find yourself, you are going to be serving one of those two masters. You can only serve one or two. And the reason greed's so easy to fall into, because I think a lot of times it seems harmless. Like it seems like normative. Like it makes sense that it's okay to have things, isn't it? It's okay to have things. It's okay to have money. It's okay to be planning for the future. It's okay to have a financial plan and think about retirement. And all those things are okay. And I think they're okay too. But the problem is when we begin to rely on those things, when we begin to covet those things, when we begin to hoard all of that stuff for ourselves, my precious, this is mine. It begins to take root in our soul if we're not careful. And it's not just about money. It's about things and money and status. And what can happen is we can easily fall into it to where the more you have, the more you want. The more you want, the more you want, the more you want. And what's happened is the more it has potential to actually have you. You ever have something like that? Where you want it, you want it, you want it, and all of a sudden it's actually the thing that's got you. Wealth isn't evil, and poverty isn't good. Not saying that either. But I am saying wealth is dangerous. It's similar to gravity. The more you have, the more gravitational pull it has on you. And we live in a consumeristic culture where we have to remain aware of this idea that we're constantly being fed by this idea of discontentment. We're being fed that we don't have enough, we need more, and we're constantly being lied to about you're not content, you're not content, you're not content, you're not content. So we're conditioned to chase after more. This game of striving to get more and more and more and more and more and more. We're often like the mouse. We just want to keep eating. We just want to sit in the corn pile and we just want more and more for ourselves. We just need a little bit more. And here's another scripture that Jesus warns against this trap of greed. He said, someone from a crowd saw to him, hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to him, man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother? And then Jesus said to them, watch out. Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy. And then he told them a parable. He told them a little story. He said, a certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. And he said, what will I do? I have no place to store all my harvest. And then he thought, oh, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, you have stored up plenty of goods, good enough for several years. Now I'm just going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things that you have prepared for yourself? This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich towards God. Jesus' response was, inheritance? I didn't come here to talk about all this good stuff that you guys have, like that it's all about the good things that you have in life, how much you acquire. He's saying, I came here, my kingdom is totally different than this. It doesn't work like this. He's saying, be careful. Life isn't about possessions and power and status. This idea of greed, it's so subtle. Guard against it. And Jesus was speaking to really, really poor people. So these are people that like lived day to day, sustenance type things. Like they just, this is what they got today, this is what they needed today. So why in the world is he talking to them about greed? Like if he needs to talk to them about greed, how much more do we need to also hear this about greed? And because we do the exact same thing that they were doing, because we tend to compare ourselves with people who have more rather than people who have less. Don't we do that? We typically look at other stuff that other people have and then we want that rather than looking at stuff that other people don't have and actually being content and satisfied with the things that we do have. We always have it backwards. So we need to have perspective. When Jesus talks about the rich, not primarily, but all of us in this room for the most part are in that classification of some of the most wealthy people on the planet. What? Look it up. Look it up. And the problem wasn't like this parable, this story. This actually sounds kind of normal, doesn't it? So when you hear this story, it's like, oh, the guy had a good crop. What's he going to do? Well, tear down his barn. Put some more in it. Now he's got some for the future. What is wrong with that? That sounds normal to us, doesn't it? The problem isn't that he had a good crop. The problem isn't that he built a big barn. The problem isn't any of that stuff. The problem is that it was all focused on him, that he didn't invite God into this in any form or fashion, whether it be gratitude, whether it be giving back, whether it be blessing other people, whether about thinking about anybody else other than himself. It was all about greed. He was only concerned about the wealth and how it affected him. Greed is deceptive and so subtle that we may not even know we've fallen into it. But surrendering to the law of love offers us a way to escape the trap of greed. Greed is a trap. Everybody say that. Greed is a trap. This one's harder to say. We might be trapped. Everybody say that with me. We might be trapped. We? Us? You? Me? Like, could we really be in this trap? Jesus says, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. So if we start to say we might be trapped, then what would that look like? As I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, what does my life show about my devotion? What does your life show about your devotion? As I said earlier, we're in the richest, some of the richest group on the planet of people. And I realize that there's different levels all throughout this room, but I'm saying just for the most part, the median to low income in the U.S. is on a higher level than the rest of the world. So what does it look like? What could it look like for us? Could we be trapped? I think it's possible. I think it's possible that me and you and every single person in this room could fall into the trap of greed. Jesus says, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Everything that's in the world, the craving for whatever the body feels, the craving for whatever the eyes see, and the arrogant pride in one's possessions is not of the Father, but is in the world. And often when they're talking about the world, there are two different things that are talked about in Scripture. There's like the world, like the earth we stand on, and then there's the world, like the way the systemic world operates. Like Jesus says, this is how the kingdom, this is how it's designed to work. This is how the world's operating. He's saying it's whatever the body feels, the cravings of the world, the cravings of the flesh. So here's some questions for us. How attached are you to your things? How much thought goes into getting more, making more, having more? How much do you stress about, think about, worry about, covet money or possessions? How often do you use your status, your power, or your things, or your money to bless other people? Do you live in a kind of open hand way where it's kind of like all this comes in, but man, I'm ready to be able to help in some way and have my hands open? Or do you hold things pretty tight? Do you pretty much hold on to everything like, this is mine? I earned it. I'm not helping anybody with it. Does having nicer things make you feel better about yourself and your status over people? Here's a big one. What if all your possessions were gone tomorrow? I get these are tough questions. I'm stomping all over my own toes here, okay? Just so you know, saying we might be in the trap. The problem with wealth, the big problem is this trap of greed and not being able to know it, is our culture feeds it and validates it. So the world says this is how it operates. Get more, build more, have more, climb the ladder, feed this inner desire. And a big problem with this type of desire is it will never be satisfied. So this idea of greed is the same thing. You think that more will do something good. You know what more breeds? The desire for more, right? It's like it is a never-ending monster of I want more, need more, have to have more. There's no contentment. You're constantly wanting more, just like the little mouse, until you're so full you can't get out of the trap. And you think, well, maybe tomorrow. No, back to wanting more, back to wanting more, back to wanting more. You either love one or you hate the other. Greed is deceptive, and it's so subtle that we may not even know we've fallen into it. But surrendering to the law of love offers us a way to escape the trap of greed. And the trap of greed doesn't end unless we want something different. Now, unlike the little mouse said, tomorrow. Well, he didn't get a chance at tomorrow. He got eaten. So I'm going to let a lion out in here, and whoever makes it, makes it. Just kidding. We get to make a choice. So here's the thing. We can escape the trap. We can. Let's look at the last part of this verse. He says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You might say, didn't we already say that? Well, kind of. Yes. He said it in the first part. He reiterated it in the middle part. And then he reminds us something again at the end, because we need to hear stuff over and over and over again at times. It says, you cannot serve God and wealth. And it sounds like, hey, now that I hear this for the third time, there actually is a choice that I get to make in here. We have agency. We get to choose which one we're actually going to serve. It's like he's saying, if you're in the trap, you can get out. This is how. Surrender to the law of love. Because we have a natural hunger in us. We have a natural hunger for significance, security, and belonging. But the problem is, when we're trying to fill that, when we're trying to fill that with all the things of the world, and we're leaning into all the flesh, and we're trying to fill all that stuff, you know what we're actually doing? We're pushing back the opportunity for real life the way it's designed, the way God has actually called us in to live. So the significance and security and belonging, the only thing that can fill it is a devoted life to God through Christ. That's it. And when you surrender to his love and you invite his love into your life, it begins to transform you. And when the more you surrender to that every single day, the more it begins to change the way that you see people, begins the way that you see the world, begins the way that you see yourself, begins the way that you see the things that you have. It's living by the law of love, and the law of love and greed cannot coexist. So we learn to surrender to God's love, and it becomes the operating mechanism in our lives. It's how we live. Greed is so deceptive and so subtle, and we may not even know we've fallen into it. Surrendering to the law of love offers us a way to escape the trap of greed. Now, I said we may have fallen into it, all of us. Now, I'm going to share how I'm responding to this, I'm going to share some things that we're doing in our lives, not for like any type of, hey, look what we're doing, but to say, if I know greed is a big problem, and that if Jesus is saying, be aware of that, then there's something that I feel responsible to say, how am I going to make sure that I'm pushing back against that in our lives? So what we're doing as a family to create some rhythms in our own lives is we have a specific amount set up that we give back to our local church here, that we say, hey, we're going to decide ahead of time this is what we're giving because we believe in this place. And this place over the last 20 years has transformed my family, and it continues to transform families in the 573. So it's something that we set up to say, hey, we're going to help support that. We're going to give back and do that. There's a couple organizations in the 573 that we give to monthly because we like what they're doing. Not just because we like it, but because they're doing good things. So we've oftentimes served in those areas and helped out in those areas, and we can't do as much serving as we've wanted to there. So now what we do is we give back to them. So we dedicate a certain amount of money every month, and we bless those organizations. We sponsor a couple children overseas because we know that the money we give to them is transformative to their lives. And we have their picture on the refrigerator, and we see them on a regular basis. And what we're doing is trying to give back and to help them to say, we want to foster something else in our lives that reminds us that there's people all around that are in need. We do our best to keep our heart and mind open to whatever God might be working in us and leading us to do. And by the way, all the stuff on the front side helps us to kind of have that generosity spirit in our lives. Several months back, a single mom reached out, got in contact with us, and we don't really know her. We got in conversation over social media, and she needed help with a bill. She was pregnant. There was all kinds of stuff, just like there is a lot of times in somebody in need. There's a story. There's always a story behind everything. And we felt like, let's help her. So we were going to help her with $200, and she said, no, loan me $200. I want to pay it back. We're like, okay, we'll loan you $200. So we loaned her $200, and our thing was like, worst come to worst, she doesn't pay us, and it helped her. Best case scenario, somebody trusts her, she trusts herself, she comes through, she pays the loan back and feels like, wow, somebody trusted me, and I did something good on my own as a single mom, and she ended up paying us back. It took months and months, and she stayed in touch with us, and I'm going to pay you back, and she paid us back $200. We tried to give it to her, but she wanted to loan. I share all this to say this, not to say that I don't struggle with falling into the trap of greed. I share this to say these are the type of rhythms that we're working on to make sure that we're saying, if greed is a big part of our life, how do we live it in an open-handed way? I grew up super, super poor, super poor. At about 19, when I gave my life to Christ, and I had a real job that made more money than we had ever come in our lives, I began to try to practice this way of living in some sort of generosity way to push back against greed. And it's the only way I know of, and it's not go set all this stuff up, it's how I'm surrendering to the law of love. That if love is my operating assumption, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to see the things that I have as not just mine, and I'm going to try to do all I can to be able to help other people and to live in a way that I'm responding to the Spirit. And I'm going to, if I think generosity is an important thing in my life, then I'm going to build out some rhythms to do that. We're going to look for places that are making good investments into the world and pushing back against darkness, and I'm going to help support those, and we're going to help people along the way. And we don't stop at every homeless person and give them money, and we're following the Spirit in that way. It's letting the Spirit guide us and do those things. But the only reason that we actually want to do that is because we're also setting up other things that are making sure that we're doing those. And I don't know, if we lost everything tomorrow and had no possessions and no money, what I hope is we would be the Dedekers. Grateful for who we are, grateful for this church family, continuing to look for opportunities to love on, push back against darkness, and help other people. That's what I hope would happen. And these are the type of things that we're doing to make sure that we're pushing back against greed, that money doesn't have us. We have it. This is a tough sermon, y'all. Just to let you know. Anybody else want to preach this one next time it comes up? Jesus says some hard stuff. And here's the thing, too. In this Sermon on the Mount, remember what Jesus is doing? He's calling us into a new way of being human. When he's talking about this stuff, he's not wanting anything from us. He's wanting something for us, right? He's wanting something for us. And the way that we can do that is we can either serve all the things of this world or we can learn to surrender to God's love. And when we do that, there's something that's for us, not from us. It's a new way of living, a new operating assumption. And where if you live by the law of love, greed can't exist. They can't coexist. It can still battle against you at times, but if you continue to surrender to God's love, they can't coexist. So greed is a trap. We may be in it, but there is a way out, and it's surrendering to God's love. So here's my challenge for you for this week, and it's for all of us, including myself, is to ask yourself this question. Am I trapped? Like this week, I want you to really evaluate. Jesus is asking us to get really serious about our treasures and what that looks like. To ask yourself this week, am I trapped? And I think the best way I know how to evaluate that, asking yourself the question, is just look at your things and your possessions and ask yourself a few questions. You might look over the last 6 months or 12 months and say, how have I handled start maybe with finances? Do I give anything away to anybody, to help anybody else? Do I support anything else, or do I just keep all of this for me? What does that look like? Just evaluate that. I don't know what that answer is going to be for you, but look at that. Do you structure anything to, like, do you think on some sort of regular basis about helping other people? Like, is this idea of blessing your neighbor, is that something that you do on some sort of regular basis? And does that have financial implications? Like, when was the last time you surrendered to the law of love? It cost you something financially to benefit somebody else. Just ask yourself that question this week. And then, do you systematically build in anything to make sure that you, the things that you come in, that have coming in, do you automatically give in some way out? Just ask yourself those questions. Am I trapped? If the answer to all those is, yeah, I do this, this, and that, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not trapped. I don't know. I'm just saying we all have to wrestle with this question because greed is a trap. We might be in it, and there's a way out of it. So when you're doing that, you might just start with this prayer. Help me see what I need to see this week. Own that you have the ability to choose, and thank God that He lets you choose. We have a choice. We get agency in what we do, right? Good stuff. Greed is deceptive. So subtle, we may not even know we've fallen into it. Surrendering to the law of love offers us a way out to escape the trap of greed.